these two sayings of Jesus are essentially independent sayings that have been drawn together in this collection of sayings of Jesus in chapter 17. And there is no need to try to make them coherent in relation to the same topic or theme. They are about different things. Comments about the telling of these sayings and the quality of their sound in telling them. The disciples' request is short and pointed. Jesus' response is a long sentence of several phrases that ends with the climactic, "and it will obey you," in the statement about the mulberry tree. So the impact of Jesus' statement is that it is a steady crescendo. It builds up both in speed and in volume to the climax of it will obey you. The second saying about the expectation of rewards introduces the servant in a long sentence with several phrases that builds up to "and immediately come in and sit at table." In Greek, this is three words of the first possible response to a slave, which Jesus says nobody would ever do. The second part of that first sentence is, "but will they not, will you not say to your slave, to your servant, come in, put on your apron, fix dinner for me," and so on. This all builds up to the climax of the expectation stated that you'll simply ask the servant to do what they would normally do. Jesus' question then literally means, do you give grace? Do you give thanks? It's the same way that we talk about prayer before meals. You know, do we say grace? Do we say thanks? Well, it's the same ambiguity. The last sentence is translated in the NRSV as "worthless servant." I think it's better to translate it as "unworthy." It's not that the servant is worthless or that we are worthless. It's rather that we are not worthy of receiving some great rewards for doing what we're simply supposed to do. So the statement there is not about your metaphysical status in relation to the kingdom of God. It's rather whether or not one is worthy to receive such gifts as is implicit in the overall parable. So these are then typically provocative sayings of Jesus. The first one is a saying in response to the disciples' request that Jesus increase their faith. His response is, in effect, pay attention to the little bit of faith that you do have and notice what kind of impact that can have. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that is a tiny, teeny, weeny little bit of faith, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, first of all, planting a mulberry tree in the sea is impossible. And then it is also impossible to think that you could simply, by believing it, say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted, planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So the implication of the saying is this impossible thing could be done with the amount of faith that's the size of a mustard seed. So what would happen if you had a lot of faith? Well, then you would be able to do incredible things. But the implication is then of the tremendous power of a little bit of faith and paying attention to the faith that we do have. The second story is a strange story for modern listeners because it reflects the relationships and attitudes toward slaves in ancient Galilee. The clear assumption of the parable is that Jesus' listeners are tenant farmers who have slaves or servants. Now, we know that the landowners in Galilee had many slaves. We really don't know to what degree the tenant farmers would have one slave, but this parable is addressed to people who have a slave, and who then Jesus can refer to their normal daily practice. And that's what he clearly assumes on the part of his listeners. Now, the statement is then that they would never have a servant who would come in from working and that they would invite them then to sit down and have dinner, but rather that they would always say to them, okay, get up, put on your apron, fix dinner for me, and serve me while I eat and drink, and then you may eat and drink. This is the attitude, which was rather callous and tough on the part of master toward slaves. This then is extended as a metaphor for the attitudes that we should have in relation to expectations from God. Would we expect that God would reward us for doing what we are simply supposed to do, what we have been ordered and commanded to do? No. When we've done all that we were commanded to do, then that's it. There is no need or expectation for further thanks or grace or rewards. So this parable is told against the idea that what we are doing in regard to God is building up points, building up the basis for favors from God. This is told against the tendency of religious people to have their own work that they have done for God be cumulative and be regarded by them as the basis for asking or expecting special gifts or privileges from God. The assumption of Jesus' parable is that people have already received abundant and overwhelming grace from God. The metaphor is not that we are slaves of God, but rather that the relationships between masters and slaves in the ancient world can help us identify dimensions of our relationship with God and God's relationship with us. So, in each of these parables, Jesus is in different ways calling attention to dimensions of faith in God and of how we respond to God, what our expectations are in relation to God. These sayings of Jesus are typically provocative. They require their listeners to think and to reflect on what does this mean about themselves, about God. And I would encourage you to use them in a provocative way. That is, to outline these stories and to interpret them both in the telling of them and in talking about them as stories that will invite us to examine our own presuppositions, our own interior assumptions, both about our faith and about our expectations in relation to how we want God to respond. So, have fun telling these stories.